When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There was an idea, the Avengers Initiative.
I can do this all day.
Dormammu?
I'm a superhero.
I come to bargain.
I love you, Fleece Houndsman.
That's my secret, Cat.
I'm always angry.
You should have gone for the head.
And I...
Wakanda forever!
Why is Gamora?
Iron Man.
We are...
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Marvel Standum. I'm your host, Kirsten Howard. Back in July, Den of Geek attended San Diego Comic-Con, where we had the opportunity to interview a slew of talented writers from Marvel Comics. Today, we're sharing our interview with Zeb Wells, author of The Amazing Spider-Man. Zeb's run is just a delight, featuring new updates to Spidey's Rogues Gallery and now a crossover event, The Amazing Spider-Man Gang War. I'm going to turn it over to the interview Mike did with Zeb in a moment, but first we have a brief message about the sponsor of this episode, eBay. eBay is the premier destination for collecting comics both old and new. Whether it's that highly sought-after iconic comic or an obscure niche that speaks directly to you, odds are you'll certainly find it on eBay. Here's a list of comics that are must-haves for any fan of Spider-Man or Zeb Wells' world. Amazing Spider-Man 26. The Zeb Wells run of Amazing Spider-Man has been controversial to say the least, marked by surprising character developments and big changes to the status quo. But Amazing Spider-Man 26 was the one Marvel touted as the most shocking Spider-Man story in 50 years, making a knowing wink to the death of Gwen Stacy in 1973. Fans can debate that claim, especially after seeing who dies in the issue. But even if the main death doesn't meet expectations, there's no denying that Wells created a memorable issue, one sure to be the defining story of the writer's run. Hellions 1. The establishment of the mutant nation Krakoa has completely reinvented the X-Men and posed new challenges for the long-running franchise. But few series have embraced the new normal like Hellions, written by Zeb Wells, drawn by Steven Segovia, and colored by David Curiel. After Professor X and Magneto offer full immunity to all mutants coming to Krakoa, some of the most infamous villains from the Chris Claremont era decide to take them up on their offer. Under the guidance of Mr. Sinister, Hellions teams Havok and Psylocke with original Hellion empath, Orphan Maker and Nanny, Marauder Scalp Hunter, and Alpha Flight baddie Wildchild, making for one of the most exciting X series of the past decade. Amazing Spider-Man 289. The Gang War storyline pits several baddies against one another, including Hobgoblin. While it is true that Hobgoblin copied his gimmick from Norman Osborn, there's much more to the character than that, putting him amongst the more interesting antagonists in Spidey's impressive rogues gallery. Written by the great Peter David, penciled by Alan Kupperberg and Tom Morgan, inked by Jim Fern, colored by George Russo, and lettered by Rick Parker, Amazing Spider-Man 289 pays off a long-running mystery about Hobgoblin's identity. The answer will shock fans of the MCU Spider-Man movies and establishes Hobgoblin as a villain who could be anyone under his grinning mask. Shang-Chi, Master of the Ten Rings 1. Shang-Chi has been around for nearly 50 years, first introduced by Jim Starlin and Steve Englehart in 1975's Special Marvel Edition 15. But the Master of Kung Fu has been getting an extra push over the last few years, thanks in part to the MCU Phase 4 standout film, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Part of that renewed attention will be a major role in Gang War, where his allegiance to Spider-Man will be tested. While Shang-Chi, Master of the Ten Rings, finds Shang-Chi and his siblings trying to change their father's evil organization into a force for good. Amazing Spider-Man Annual 1. Gang War will hardly be the first time Spider-Man battles a legion of bad guys. Most famously, Spider-Man has battled the supervillain team-up, the Sinister Six, a combination of baddies that usually includes Dr. Octopus, the Sandman, Mysterio, Electro, Kraven the Hunter, and the Vulture. This unholy alliance first formed in the classic Amazing Spider-Man Annual 1 from 1964. The story shows Spider-Man at his best, overwhelmed by an onslaught of his greatest foes but never giving up, balancing his duties as superhero and doting nephew to Aunt May. Although Spidey will go on to face greater odds later in his career, Amazing Spider-Man Annual 1 sets the mold. Head on over to ebay.com today to start or expand your collection. And now back to the show.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Den of Geek Studio, and I have with me Mr. Zeb Wells.
Good to see you again.
Writer of The Amazing Spider-Man, ruiner of Peter Parker's life.
Always.
But actually, the one I feel most bad for right now, you're like the ruiner of poor Norman Osborn's life, dude. Like, what are you doing? I can't believe the words "poor Norman Osborn" just came out of my mouth.
I think that's a big accomplishment for me, that people are feeling sorry for Norman Osborn. That's huge.
Yeah, and like, I felt like this, even at the start of your run, I was like, there's no way I'm going to still be feeling like sympathy for Norman Osborn like 6-8 months from now. And yet here we are. The latest issue was that number 28, 29?
Yes, maybe 29.
Where it's like, it finally feels like it's all about to go wrong for Norman in that last page.
Yeah, he's having a hard time. And I think that was the challenge. Can we get it to a place where not only is it surprising if he does go back, but people are bummed that
he
does?
Yeah, I'm bummed.
Yeah.
I'm bummed. But, you know, what I'm not bummed about, though, well, I figure I'll probably eventually be bummed out. Can we make some kind of deal where Ed McGuinness just draws Spider-Man forever? Like,
he has been doing such fantastic work, and it's so much fun to have Johnny on one end that does such great, you know, like, classic Spider-Man artist who does very good street level. Just naturally, I tell brutal stories with Johnny because that feels like what his art likes to tell. But then you have Ed, who is so poppy and fun. And we have Rec Rap, who's a big, dumb Spider-Man with a big, dumb grin. And it makes Ed so happy to draw him. And Ed is having a great time. And I want Ed to continue having a great time so he continues drawing the book.
Was that one Rec Rap cameo in 26 or 27? Was that just Ed's idea? Did you just get a page back with a big, like, 3/4 panel of Rec Rap, and you're like, fine, I'll put an editor's note here?
No. What we got was an email after I sent him the script where he was like, "What? No Rec Rap? Like, can I draw a little?" And I was like, "Okay. Next issue, I'll give you a page of Rec Rap."
You talk about working with John Romita, and I think the last time we spoke, I even kind of brought up how the first part of this Amazing Spider-Man run, I was like, man, this feels very much like a callback to like early to mid 80s Spidey comics in a way. And it was the choices of villains you were, you know, it's Tombstone, it's Hobgoblin. And I'm like, oh, it's kind of a cool throwback Spidey run. And like a week after that interview, that all went out the window. And now you've been telling, I guess, the story that you were really brought here to tell.
Yeah, but you saying that reminds me of what is happening in the future, where I do think Johnny is so good at the street level 80s stuff. So we just announced a big crossover called Gang War that Johnny will be drawing, and that we've started to seed, and we'll kick off in issue 39, and we're going to get back to the hardcore street level stuff that made Spider-Man so much fun in the 80s.
Does the way that you write for an artist like John Romita, is it different than the way that you're writing when you know it's Ed McGuinness drawing?
1,000%. I would never write. I would never hand John Romita Jr. an Ed script, and I would never hand Ed a John Romita script. Yeah, I just consider it such a collaboration, because when I'm writing, I have John Romita's artwork in my head as I'm writing, and I'm writing it knowing that he's going to draw it and things that I want to see him draw. And then when Ed comes on, it is like, okay, well, we have to Ed this up. You know, we have to make this fun for Ed to draw. And Ed always has fun ideas too. And you can't always get them all in, but I try to, I want my artists to be having a great time because I think that's when you get the best artwork.
Just to think about, you know, obviously you've gotten to play with Tombstone. You did a really cool Hobgoblin arc. Obviously Doc Ock is hanging around now. But in the midst of all of this, there have been all of these new characters and concepts, like that have, you know, we have Ben Reilly's new identity and costume, and that costume is pretty sharp. You know, we have Jackpot in the picture now. Hallows Eve seems to be catching on pretty well.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, how are you kind of balancing the classic Spidey elements that you want in, you know, like you can't be writing the Amazing Spider-Man and not expect certain villains to have appearances, but like, there are these really cool new characters that I think are going to have an impact down the road.
Yeah, and I think most of those have come out of collaborations with artists. So it's been really fun. Hallows Eve, Ed was just chomping at the bit. When I think I came up with that power set, and then he took it and completely ran with it. And I think you do have to balance it, because part of me, as a Spider-Man fan, you're a Spider-Man fan, part of you just wants to play with the Spider-Man toys that you know and love. And so I think it's more kind of nudging yourself to create a character or new concepts so that you're adding to the thing. You're not just doing stuff that people have done before.
Full disclosure, I had fallen behind on the book, and so I was catching up. I knew there was a
catch. Yes. I knew when I came here there was a catch.
So I had to catch up quickly. I'm still a little fuzzy on the timeline element, you know, that, you know, when Peter left and came back, like, I understand time passed differently for Mary Jane than it did for Peter, but like, I'm just trying to figure out where we land now in relation to the rest of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, the books coming out now are current.
Gotcha.
And so when we started the book, he had had that experience with Mary Jane probably like 5 to 6 months earlier. And then there had been, you know, sort of a suggested 6 months of him just being depressed and not doing too much Spider-Manning, everyone being upset with him and him not being in a mood to mend fences. And so at the end of 26, we tried to show that those fences were starting to be mended. Everyone sort of understood what had happened. And now we have our feet under us and we're going forward with the rest of the Marvel Universe.
Got it. And so that's a full 25 issues of, you know, you kind of knew, you know, when your issue one opened on that mystery, and it took us 25 issues to really get, you know, the resolution of it. So that leads me to wonder just how much of your run you have mapped out in your head that you're not telling us about today.
Well, there's definitely a back half to it. Like, I'm just getting started, you know. There's still more ahead of us than behind us on the run. And we, just by the nature of how many artists I need to feed, you do, whether you like to or not, you are planned out ahead, because I'm writing issue 40 and issue 29 just came out. So I'm very excited about the back half of my run, because it's sort of unencumbered by the mystery and everything. We had our fun and we had a good time doing that. And now it's just, how does everything we've set up play out? And that is always really fun, because you have just a bunch of balls in the air and it's fun to see how many of them you can land and stick the landing on.
Gang War was announced today. What else can you tell everybody about Gang War? You touched on it a little bit a few minutes ago, but what else can you tease out about Gang War right now?
Well, it is a love letter to Johnny and a love letter to the Spider-Man stories he has done in the past. And Johnny is very New York.
You don't say.
Yeah, I don't know if you've met him, but that is very obvious from the second you meet him. He is a New Yorker, capital N, capital Y. So it's his vibe. It's me. It's a love letter to that vibe. We have, and it's just, he likes to do that street level brutality. And so we're pushing us into that. On the cover that we just released, we have She-Hulk with barbed wire wrapped around.
Oh, wow.
Around her fist. So we're going for it. It's going to be a fantastic time. This is a good thing, but he's very angry with how many characters he's drawing right now. He keeps saying, I'm going to make him go back and being a bartender. But the pages that he is sending in, the reason he's so angry is that he never skimps. You know, if there's a bunch of cool stuff written, he draws all the cool stuff. So the pages are incredible. The story is fun, and the story, we will be in a completely different trajectory after this story. And if you enjoyed the Tombstone arc, there is a lot of awesome Tombstone in this arc.
John is not somebody I would want to make angry.
No. So I hope you appreciate the risks I'm taking for the book.
Yeah. This is you're suffering for your art.
The man just told me his bench max is 275.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Well, folks, this might be the last interview you see with Zeb Wells. So I hope you enjoyed it. Zeb, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for watching and or listening to this special edition of Marvel Standum. We'll be back soon with more of our coverage, as well as some fun book clubs with me and Joe George. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to us on YouTube at Den of Geek US. Check out our Twitch and TikTok at Den of Geek TV, and our Twitter/Instagram at Den of Geek. We're also on Threads. Don't forget to check out our web home of denofgeek.com, where you can find all our Marvel coverage and more. We also have a paranormal and horror pop culture show called Talking Strange, hosted by Aaron Sagers. Check that out if you're into the spooky and weird. Thanks once again to our sponsor eBay, and thank you all for joining us today. Be good to each other and stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Marvel Standum, produced by Andrew Halley, Kirsten Howard, and Joe George. Hosted by Kirsten Howard. Editing and graphics by Andrew Halley. Social media coordinator Lee Parham. Additional artwork by Chloe Lewis. Production assistant Michael R. Music licensed from Soundstripe.com. Marvel Standum is a production of the Den of Geek Network. For more information, visit denofgeek.com.